head. Simulamet Ches and Keser Shem Tov, page 114. Simulamet Ches Aleph, because these two Torahs, Ches Aleph and Ches Beis, are really one Hamshech. It's really one Torah. Each one of these Torahs, you find over and over in the Svarim HaKadosh, and all the Talmidei Baal Shem, that they're building big binyanim, skyscrapers, upon each one of these little Torahs that we're learning. Mamish skyscrapers. Now, Baal Shem Tov. Yiruch Yitzaynis HaBala Adam. There's Yiruch Yitzaynis and there's Yiruch Pnimis. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Thank you. Yiruch Yitzaynis and Yiruch Pnimis. There's external fear or superficial Yiruch Yitzaynis and there's Yiruch Pnimis. There are many things in the world that a person can be afraid of. There are a lot of scary things. People have all kinds of phobias, and even if it's not a phobia, which is something which is unhealthy or pathological, even healthy, well-adjusted people are afraid. They're afraid for their children. They're afraid for their parnasa. There are many, many things to be afraid about. Afraid for their lives. Some issues of health for chulu. So all of the fears, other than that, which is Yiras Hashem, all other fears are Yiras Chitzaynis. So Yiras Chitzaynis HaBala Adam, when a person feels a Yiras Chitzaynis, when he's overcome by some terror, by some fear, of something in this world. So Hashem says, "Hu yad yamino yisbarach pshuta, sheyisayir ha'adam yizel diyur apnimis." It means that Hashem's right arm. Now, the right arm of Hashem is what? It's chesed, it's ahav, it's love. Yira we automatically associate with fear. So the first thing you would assume is that this is God's left arm. You're afraid. Something scary. Right? The left arm. But the Baal Shem says that really it's Yad Yamino Yisbarach Pshuta. Hashem's right arm is outstretched. She is Oyer Ha'adam Yizel Yira Pnimis, to awaken the person to Yira Pnimis. To awaken the person to that place of Yiras Pnimis, of real, deep, and inner Yira, which is Yiras Hashem. This, of course, is consistent with one of the most basic teachings of the Baal Shem HaKadosh, of Lahalosus Amidos, to lift up all of the Midas and the Fulois. That every midah, ahava, a person's love, the love could be in a state of nefila, where the person loves things of this world. He's enamored by sushi or by sports, whatever it is. That's what he loves. So that the love itself is very holy. It's very, very deep and it's very pure. The love itself, but it's surrounded by this klipa. That love is. It's the love is being misused. The mead itself is very, very holy. And the other Svarim, the old Svarim before the Baal Shem, the whole subject had to be deleted. Well, the Baal Shem wasn't deleting the whole subject. It was peeling away the inappropriate object of one's love, but holding on to the love itself, because love itself is very precious. And this is something that This is something that repeats itself over and over in different levushim. In the Svarma of the Talmei Bal Shem HaKadosh. That's the marshal that was given by the P.S.S. in the Sussion, which we've spoken about so many times over the years, is that you have that a young man was taken off to jail, and he's only allowed to have one visitor a month for 5 minutes or something. So his father comes and he brings with him some documents to work on the case, to talk about the case, to have him freed. He needs something signed, whatever it might be. So the jailkeeper, the fellow, lets him in and tells the father, you only have 5 minutes. And he goes in. The father hasn't seen the son in at least a month or more, and the son is suffering terribly. And the father goes in, and the boy is standing there, and the father just goes over to him, sits down, and starts working on the papers. So the P.S.N. said, Shaita Shabbalam, of course you have to work on the papers, but the first thing when you go in is you should be giving him a hug and holding him for a minute, whatever. And the P.S.N. said, you have that opportunity when the jail door is open, where the cell is opened. It's not normally open. The cell door is normally closed. It's shut. It's locked. And if there's an opportunity when it's open, you have to take advantage of it. Don't waste it on signing a couple of papers or discussing the case. The cell door is open. In other words, if there's a hisaris of ahava, if there's a hisaris of yira, it means that the door of the prison has been opened. Your heart has been opened for a minute. It's not often that happens. So what are you going to do with that opportunity where the heart has been opened? What are you going to do with that opportunity? So what the Baal Shem is saying here is that when there's a yirah chitzonis, when a person is afraid of something, Hashem's right arm is reaching out to you. Not the left arm. It's a way that Hashem is trying to draw you close. The way it looks to you is that there's some din in your life because there's something you're afraid of. There's some din. And on the outside, that would appear to be Hashem's left arm. But if you look carefully, if the person looks carefully, and he's able to go past the external yira, and at that moment to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with yiras Hashem, so then the Baal Shem says, "Kasha yeda ha'adam shezeh chazda yizbarach lo ayro," when the person realizes that truthfully, it's because of Hashem's love that he's trying to get you moving. He's trying to wake your heart up. He's opening the cell door for you. He's giving you an opportunity to come out of like the stupor that you're in, the sleep that you're in. Because yeda adam shezeh chazda yizbarach la'oro, that all this is Hashem's love to wake you up. Because you're just going on and on and on with the silliness, with the emptiness, with the thinking that life is going to go on forever and you're invincible. So then you have that moment of fear, that moment of vulnerability. So what do you do with that moment that the cell door is open? And who's the one that's opening the cell door? The peace essence said, it's not the warden, it's not the guy from that works in the prison, the corrections officer, whatever they're called. It's not that guy. He's a shliach. He's a stam, a nobody. Hashem's Baruch is opening up the door. So if Hashem is opening up a door for you, it's coming purely from love, because Hashem wants you to be close to him. So therefore, you experience a certain din in your life. And when you realize that, Nasim Yira Ahava, then the yira is transformed, is lifted up to a place of love, of ahava. Because you understand that this is not coming from God's being far from you, or God forbid, hating you. It's coming from his great love for you, to be near you. And that Hashem kivyohol can't stand the distance. And the person's going about his life being oblivious to Hashem. So nasim yir ahava. Shemakablo bi ahava. And then the person accepts that din in his, what he's going through, that difficulty or that challenge, he accepts it, bi ahava, with love. Doesn't mean it's easy, but he accepts it, he believes that it's truly Hashem's love that has brought this upon him. And then there's a fringe benefit of that. V'nifta me'irich yitzaynis. Then he becomes exempt. It's no longer necessary that there be any yirich yitzaynis. So what can happen then, which he talks about more in the next Torah, is that the object of fear, that thing which was causing the fear, at that point, is no longer necessary. It accomplished its purpose. And it could disappear. There could be a hamtaka. He's going to explain that you don't go in with that. That's not the machshava that you should have. This is a gimmick of how I can get rid of the scary thing in my life, of the sickness or of the problem. It's not if you do it like that, then it doesn't work. We're going to see that. Then that's nothing. It's shtiyot. But if a person lifts up the midah to be'emes, to a place of ahava, where it's coming from. I had such an interesting conversation a few days ago with a very, very wonderful Jewish couple that have a family, have children. And they fight constantly. These two are the nicest people I know. They're like at war with each other, these two. It's been like years, just everything's like, you know, from one crisis to the next, fighting. And there was a really bad one, this one, you know, locking him out of the house, and running, going away, not coming back, all this stuff. And then, so some emergency calls in the middle of the night, back and forth, to try to get him to come home, to try to get her to unlock the door, stuff like that. So then things calmed down a little bit, and I was talking to them. They came by and we were talking. And then he said, this is what he said. He said something which is so common, but he put it to words, and people don't often put it to words this way. And it's interesting, because then there's another one a few days later, it was very similar, nusach. This one was 2 weeks ago, but the nusach was like this, that the emes is, the truth is, he said, she was there. They were sitting with me, and he said, the truth is, I was raised in a home where I felt very, very, very little affection or love. Very little. And I've been starving for that my whole life. And I feel that you're not giving me the love that I need. So I find reasons just to scratch, to knip. I find reasons to make trouble. To make trouble that will get you emotionally worked up, to see some emotion from you. Because it's better that I see that than the cold life that we're living together. I can't bear it. So at least that I get you all crazy, so in some weird way, it means that you care for me. This sounds strange to you? Mm-hmm. Yeah?
It's usually the other way around. It's usually the other way around.
Yeah, it's usually girl, guy. Yeah, yeah. It's very, very common. It's just that he admits it to himself. This goes on all the time. Both ways. But you're right, mostly that's a tactic. It's usually used by the girl. But this is an avoda to somehow just break the ice. I can't bear the coldness. So even though, so there's a hisiris of dinim. I mean, it's terrible. But for him, it's a mechaya that at least I got her like worked up. you know. At least it's not that coldness. At least my existence sets off emotions in her. You think that's so strange?
It's a common thing that somebody does to themselves. Say that young girls who are cutters.
Yeah.
They better not to feel anything at all, to feel numb, than at least in feeling something.
Right, right. People often bring that upon themselves. To feel something. Yeah. So to understand that in the context of what the tzaddik is saying is that, and I told the wife. She says, "You understand what he's telling you is that when I make trouble, and I give you a hard time, and it's not stam an excuse. He's a very, very wonderful person. When I'm giving you a hard time, the emes is that it's coming from a place of ahava. It's my right arm that's reaching out to you. That's what he's saying." And she started to cry. It's a whole like epiphany, and I said, "He's all the time reaching out to you," and then it becomes, you know, I didn't say any of this, but I said, but putting into this context, so what happens is then they get stuck in the Yiruch Yitzaynis, you understand? And it's just the Yiruch Yitzaynis is like a war. It's all dinim. You did this to me, you did this to me, and your mother's like that, and your mother's like that. And all the dinim, and it's all Yiruch Yitzaynis. But the emes is that he's reaching out with his right arm. And she's gotten busy, you know, with the kids and different things and whatever. And she's got some issues, and he's sort of been left behind. So he comes across as being a real baldinim, the guy. He's not. He's a very sweet guy. But he's acting. He's not acting appropriately. He's not acting himself. He's acting very out of character. He's a really nice guy. He just can't stand the coldness. So he just gets things stirred up. But it's a Yiruch Yitzaynis. I'm sure there are books that are written about this kind of stuff in the non-Jewish world. I'm sure there are books written about it.
In Jewish,
Pnina
and Chana, that's a similar type of thing.
Yeah, Kiasta. Right. It's true. The Pnina got Chana all worked up. The Davin and... you see, there is such an inyan, but the point is that chitzonius, it looks like everything is coming from the left side. It looks like the person is pushing you away because he's saying like nasty stuff. You know, right away, get divorced. They never should have married you. Like horrible things. Why is he saying? So she says, do you know what he said to me? He said that he never should have married me. He should have married the girl that he knew in college. You know, like these kind of things. So he's sticking a knife in me. These are the Lashonis of fighting, right? He's sticking a knife in me. So what do you think he's saying that he should have divorced you? Why do you think he's saying that? Because all he wants you to say is that I can't live without you. And that if you divorce me, I'm going to die. That's what he wants you to say. It's not a healthy way of getting that out of a person. We all agree. It's not a healthy way to do that, but it's fallen into a very unhealthy situation. But the pnimius of it is ahava, is the right arm. It's not the left arm. It's the right arm. Good people killing each other all the time, just to bring out something. That you're still alive. That I make a difference. That I make a difference. That I exist. You have this kaseda that, especially with women, it's a lot. The husband's busy with all of his inyanim in this world, and she's looking for emotions and romance, and he's just busy with his buying and selling and his stuff and all these inyanim and his learning all the stuff, and she acts up, you know, she does stuff that's on the outside looks like it's an unbelievable harchaka. You have people that that's nicer ones with somebody who's terrible, that she'll flirt with another person. She'll flirt with someone and he should know about it, that he finds out about it. Not to keep it in such a way that he'll know about it. which is an unbelievable harchaka from somebody. It's like pushing the person away in the most terrible, terrible way, pushing the spouse away. But the whole inyan of that was not that Edsom, she wants to have something with the other guy. She wants to be over her guy. But on the outside, it's all harchaka, it's all dinim. On the outside, it's all harchaka, it's all dinim. The pnimius, it's a hava, mamash hava. It's just coming to a place that's not healthy. And if a person is able to, like the Baal Shem says, if a kasha yed ha'odim, she says chazdi is baruch. When a person thinks about that, when it comes to a yira chitzainis in life, that it's really a havas Hashem. It's not that Hakadosh Baruch Hu is trying to push him away, and it's not that Hashem doesn't love him. It's not that Hashem. So the dinim and all of these things, it's Hakadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out from with his right arm. She says, "Chazdi is Baruch Lo'ayra." Tiba Mo'ayra the person, the Nasim Yira Ahava. Then from that Yira Chitzainus, they can come to tremendous Ahava, which is how the couple left. How the couple left the office. How long that's going to last, I suppose. They need to get serious help. But they left the office with Ahava, with Gevaldig Ahava. There needs to be a lot of work to keep that, the door of the prison, you know, open. Not to just, boom, get shut. But now Samir Ahava. Now, when a person is afraid, God forbid, you heard that something, that somebody that you love that was diagnosed with something that's very serious. So, could be that for the first time in your life, you actually davened. The first davening of your whole life. Your whole life, you never davened. There's a year of chitzaynus. Well, the mashal that Chazal bring by Kriyas Yamsuf. That the famous mashal that Rish Lakish says that the mashal that the king, not that there was a prince, whatever, that that he was going someplace, and he heard somebody calling and crying, and he goes and he looks, and there's a pit, and there was the Bas Melech, there's a prince, the princess, that. That fell, and the other marshal, the different ones that she fell, that's the one that's most common. So she fell into this pit, and this young man risks himself, his life, whatever. He goes down there and he rescues. It's a very romantic story, and they smooze and so on, and they fall in love and they're engaged to get married, and over the course of the engagement. There's this coldness that set into the relationship over the course of the engagement. You know, she's busy figuring out the tablecloths and the guest list and who's sitting at which table, all this stuff. And, I mean, that's not what it says in the Medrash. I'm just, you know, modernizing it a little bit. But she becomes busy with the hachanis for the chasn and other things. And she's busy. And he's feeling completely, so here's interesting. It's for the guy and the girl this way. So he feels completely like, you know, this is not what I bargained for. So one day, he speaks to a couple of listim, a couple of criminals that he knows from the place, and he pays them, and he says that when my fiance, when my Kala is walking, she goes every day, so go over there and scare, you know, like attack her and grab her that you're gonna. So they do that. Of course, it's all a game, and they do that, and she starts to scream out his name. Whatever, just to cry out his name, and then he swoops in to rescue her from the listim. And it goes on the pasuk when it says by Kriyas Yamsuf, "Matitzak elai," that by Yitzhakov, so we were crying out to Hashem by Yamsuf. So the pasuk, the Medrash brings the pasuk from Shir Shir. Hashmini is Karlach. The Medrash says, is Karlach Sheshamati from Mitzrayim. Ki Karlach Arev, Umarach Nava. In other words, Hashem is saying that when you were in Mitzrayim, and you were suffering, and you were miserable, you cried out to me. Okay, and I took you out, and you're, now you're just, you know, like a regular, people, like everything's regular, sort of settled into routine. So why does Hashem bring, by Yamsuf, Hashem brought the Egyptians again, like why do that? Just make a, you know, you do a Kriyas, you do a Yitzias Mitzrayim, do it nice, you know. Make a nice Yitzias Mitzrayim. Finish the job. The Bnei Yisrael was not capable of finishing the job. The Egyptians couldn't have been held back in Egypt. But instead, Hashem lets the Egyptians chase us all the way to the Yam. And Chazal say that the Egyptians are behind us, and the ocean's in front of us, and the Chayas rose. There was nowhere to go. And then Vayitzak, and we start to scream. And then Hashem says, Matitzakalai, you don't have to scream anymore. You don't have to scream. Dabar b'nei Yisrael v'Yisrael, and then there's a Kriyas Yamsuf. And then the Medrash brings the pasuk in Shir Hashem, Hashmini es kolach. Hashem saying, I want to hear your voice. Es kolach sheshamati b'Mitzrayim, the way you cried out to me in Mitzrayim. When you spoke to me in Mitzrayim, you were crying to me. When you needed me, Hashmini es kolach. Ki kolach arev, your voice is so sweet to me. Doesn't mean that God forbid that Hashem is, you know, to do such things, that it's bamis, that it's dinim, it's not dinim. It's a yurchitzainis, on the outside it's dinim. But really it's hashmini es kailach. Because the kala fell into a routine. And she's taking the chasm for granted. She doesn't remember that he saved her life. She doesn't remember the day that she was in the pit. She was down there, and she was going to die. And that her chasm saved her life. So the chasm was looking for that kind of intensity for something, just like, you know, for something from the kala to be awake. To be awake. Why did we get engaged? What's the tachlis of our relationship? So there's a yerichitzaynis. The yerichitzaynis was, so he sent the listim, he sent these criminals to scare her. Wasn't God forbid meant to hurt her or to anything to happen to her. But it's a yerichitzaynis. They should come to a yerupnimis. Ultimately to Ahava, through the yerupnimis to come to a place of Ahava. So that was the right, was it the right arm of the prince, or was it the left arm of the prince? It was the right arm. Was it the right arm of this husband that he's making trouble for the wife? It's the right arm that's making trouble. Is it the right arm of that wife that was flirting with somebody? Or the left arm? It's the right arm. The husband's been ignoring her for so many years, she can't take it anymore, so she doesn't know what to do. And she's tried different things, she doesn't know what to do, he doesn't care. So this is the way that she... Hashmini is kailach. I want to hear your voice. What voice? The voice that of Mitzrayim. The voice under the chuppah when you rescued me from a life of loneliness. When we were married, I want to hear that voice again. So good people do this to each other. It doesn't always happen in an obvious way. So that's why, when you're shaking your head, and that this is odd, this is strange, this doesn't. It happens all the time, but it's much more subtle. I'm only using it in a very extreme way. Give it just some extreme cases, situations, but it happens in a subtle way all the time. It happens in a subtle way. When a kid acts up in class. The kid is acting up in class, so you have somebody that's like the class clown. So what is it? So on the outside you have a huge behavior problem. The teacher who's living in a place of chitzanias, this is the worst kid. I gotta get this kid out of my class, or better yet, I have to tell the principal that I can't have him unless he goes for an evaluation. That's the word nowadays. An evaluation. Which means that the teacher says that unless this kid gets some injections, I'm not having him in my class. And those are usually the most chashuva kids. The class clown is usually the most chashuva kid. Not always. Sometimes he's just crazy. But there is such a thing too. But but very, very often it's a very chashuv, chashuv kid. But he's calling out. He has to get so much attention. So much attention. It's the Indian that he's look. What's he looking for? So better to have some sort of, better to have the teacher angry because he lives in a cold life with cold, with parents that don't pay attention to him. Not always. His life, whatever, for whatever reason he feels that he doesn't have. So this way he gets things stirring in the class, you know, he gets the ilum worked up, he gets the teacher angry. These things are kaseder in life, in the world. You have a woman that dresses in a very provocative way. What is she doing? What for? What is she dressing in such a way? For who? For what? Again, I'm not a psychologist, but you don't have to be a big professor to figure it out. That ruba the ruba, what is she dressing in such a provocative way? Because she's craving for some sort of attention. That's all. And she feels very, very alone. And she'll even do terrible ma'isim just to have something, even though she knows that it's worthless. It's all chitzonis. His mom is worthless, but something, something. At least this guy made believe that he cares for me, even though she knows that it's a lie, that he only wants to use her. But at least I felt for a second that there was somebody that wants me. And that's kedai. Ah, you mevazi yourself, destroying your life. You made yourself mamish into a chefza of somebody else's tumah. But look, something, epis, something I get out of this. It's hard to understand. A person, how lonely people are, how desperate people are for something. So it's all, that's the chitzonius of it. It works like that, kivyochel, with Hashem. Because if we have that in our lives, it means there's an inyan like that, lamala. That there's such a strategy, there's such a tactic, kivyochel.
So God uses the same strategy?
It comes from God, such a thing. The shurish of that is in God. But with God, it's not because of any dysfunctionality. Of course, we have all kinds of mishagas. But with Hashem, it's, yeah, that's what the Baal Shem is saying. That the right arm of Hashem is reaching out to us, is reaching out to the person.
And this is not of craziness, a human being, it could be from...
Sure, a human being could be just, it's all kinds of, oh, it's, because I'm only using these stories as typologies. Obviously, there could be 1,000 other things mixed in that are just not healthy. I'm only using it as a marshal. Yeah, but in every marshal, you know, every marshal is, because it's not pure. In life, people have all kinds of complications. These couples also have other vinyanim. It's not so posh. That's why, just because they walked out holding their hands, that doesn't mean they're not going to be hitting each other, you know, the next day. It's not just, so this is how cover of that. There are other issues. There are a lot of issues.
But God uses a similar tactic. He hits you a shtickle to wake you up.
Yes.
But he's not doing it unhealthy. He's doing it healthy.
So,
Mamish does it, right?
Rabbi Nachman said, so Rabbi Nachman says that first Hashem is about whispers.
Right.
Right? And then you don't hear it, so he talks, then he
That's
starts talking.
Right?
And then which person?
A fool takes flagellation,
right.
A wise man takes a whisper or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. I just don't remember what the pasuk is, but there is something like that. I don't remember what.
It's Mishle, a wise man takes.
Okay, it's your job to find the pasuk, okay? You can do that, David. Okay. So the when it comes to the person not hearing, so the whisper becomes a scream, and then the Rabbi Nachman said that at some point you get kicked in the stomach, like just wake up. It's like when you're trying to get the kid to go to daven, you know. So first you say, hey, good morning, Shefela. Good morning. My father never started off. He used to come straight, get straight to the point. But he did it in a very sweet way. I once told you how he did it. He used to come over, he says, Yale Habocha Habuchra Khushiva Tadikatu Yala Chai Moyeshiv Mordechai Yosef Shishi Chaza.
Really?
Yeah. He used to call me up an Aliyah in the morning. He used to give me an Aliyah. Shishi. So my father said, what do you want, mafta? Shishi's good. He used to wake me up like that.
That was great.
Yeah, I used to get an Aliyah every morning. The Neshama should have an Aliyah. That's it. My father wanted the goof should have an Aliyah, but not just the Neshama. He used to hear already coming before he got into my room. Yamoy. And it was always dark out. Yamoy.
Oh, I'm
going to
try this.
Yeah, you try. I don't think you should try. I don't know. That's a long time ago. Things that work then don't work now so much.
It's
great.
Yeah. It's a little sad, Lou, Rebbe, that... It's a little sad, Lou, that we feel like we have to put him through all this to get us to come close to him.
Yeah, it's very sad. It's pathetic. It's one of the inyan of the Tzara Shechina. The person empathizes with the Shechina. It's one of the terrible things. Not the most terrible thing. It's pathetic. Lahavla is pathetic that husband's going through that to get something out of his wife. It's something very, very sad. You're right. It's a very sad thing. Why can't we just do it like, yeah. Do it nice. Do it regular. What do you have to... This is the dinim. Every kid comes home from school and complains at some point, why does the teacher or the rabbi have to give me homework? I don't need... Or why do they have to give me tests? Forget about homework. Why do you have to have a test, right? Why do you have to have a test? The kid's complaining. Why does the rabbi have to... Why do we have to have... What the teacher is... Why do we have to have tests? It's the same thing we said when we were kids. We don't want to have tests. And then the parent, now they just... You got all smart or something. So now the parent says, well... It's very, very important because otherwise you're not gonna review. You're not gonna understand the work unless you're being tested, right? And the kid will always say, "It's not true. If they wouldn't give me a test, I would never do anything. He would never do anything. He'd be on his thing. He wouldn't do anything. So the would it be nice to have a world without dinim? To have a life without any tests? We would never do our work. Only little children say, it's not true, I would do my work. You would never do anything if you didn't have a test. So there's no accountability. There's no accountability. There's no dinim. Yeah, if only I didn't have dinim in my life, then I would be really, really close to Hashem. Everybody says, I can't daven because Hashem brought this tzara in my life. And before you had the tzara in your life, you were davening. I can't, I feel so broken by the tzara that I'm going through that I can't possibly daven. That's why you're not davening. What is it exactly that gets you to daven? When life was good, then you didn't daven. You were busy living it up, right? And now that you have a tzara, you can't daven because life is no good. What kind of God is it? So exactly when do you daven? Like what works? You have any aitzes maybe? When God shows you his love, and you're making a lot of money, and things are going great. What kind of davening is it? Then something's happening. When there are no tests, then it's good. So the Baruch Shalom says he doesn't lie. I don't hear from this guy. Life is so good. I hear it. So then I'm going to bring something upon him. I'll bring it sorrow. Then now you're saying what? What kind of a God brings sorrows to me? I can't daven to such a God. If he could do that to this or that, if that could happen to me. I tried so hard to do mitzvahs and I lost my parnasa, so I can't feel connected to such a God. So what do you want him to do? When it was open and revealed, Ahava, when it was love that was open and revealed, nishkan davening, no davening. Everything takes for granted, and then it was the other mahalach to wake you up to give a pitch. Or a patch, whatever that is. So then I can't. What kind of thing is this? How could God love me if He did such a thing to me? So either ben kach or ben kach, the Baruch Hashem doesn't get anything from you. So Hashmini is koylech shashmati b'mitzrayim. He doesn't get anything from you. And a person can live his whole life in this thing. Let's have these conversations about how How come all these kashas and things? And they, of course, it hurts when they're adinim. But this Torah is that there's a yerchid sign. It's to bring to a year of pnimis. And if a person does it b'emes, then very often he says at the end, v'niftim yerchid sign, that he can become part of the yerchid sign, which we'll see, which he talks about more. You can be mamish part of in Holland. You can be part of it. Let's look a little bit at footnote 2. The parish is very, we already said more than the parish over here, so let's just look at the footnote. Hachitzani should be here as Zubi Bishtai. The chitzonius of yira is in two ways. Hei mitzad ha'odam shechayishish rak lehefzit shalai. It's first, the person is only worried about that he's something, he's losing something. He's afraid he's going to lose his money, or he's going to lose his life, whatever it is. He's afraid of something. V'ni yorim negedulos yisboch. And he's not in a place of yiras Hashem. He's just afraid for himself. V'hei mitzad ha'elokuz. Or all he focuses on is that he's afraid of getting punished by God. I'm not going to do this because I'm going to get punished by God. Both of these are your chitzainis. And both of them are self-centered. I'm afraid of losing my panasa if I don't do the mitzvah or whatever, or I'm afraid of getting punished if I don't do the mitzvah. I'm not saying, no one's saying that this is not something which is important, but sof kol sof, it's a yerchid zaynus. It's not the tachlis. Yerus aynus is not the tachlis. One always has to have. It's something you have to always fall back on, but it's not the tachlis. One second. Yeah, what?
It seems to be saying something a little different.
Yeah.
That he's not concerned about Hashem's greatness. Does that all tie in?
No, he's not yorei. He's not fearful. The cause of his fear is not godless Hashem. He's not because of Hashem. Because of Hashem's great. That's what I'm saying. Because his yira is a yira about that he's worried about himself, and it's not because of God's greatness that he has yira for him. Because of Hashem's greatness. That he's yorei with negative losses. Are you saying something different?
I'm saying that we've been talking about a relationship with Hashem, but this seems to be more like talking about he's not worried about Hashem's godless.
That's what it means, I think.
Misplaced fear.
Yeah, he's afraid of losing something himself, and the fear is not coming because of God's greatness. That one should be, one should have yiras Hashem because of Hashem's greatness, not because I'm worried about losing something, I'm worried about getting punished, but because Hashem is Malik Olam and Sovav Kolam, and so Hashem is Hashem. I think we're saying the same thing. Yeah. Upekilas Moshe al Torah, Parashas Ekev, Vati Yisrael, on the positive, it says like this, Shemati v'shem Rav HaChos, V'deb Yisrael Bal Shem Tov Zal. Yis V'zor HaKadosh, Yis Yiras HaRemus, V'yis Yiras HaAynish. The Zohar says that there's different types of Yira. There's Yiras HaRemus, There's fear that comes from awe. It's awe. Yiras HaRemus wants an awe of Hashem because of Hashem's greatness. V'yis Yiras HaAynish, and then there's fear of getting punished. Shemefachid Mekadosh Baruch Machmas Aynish Zeh Yiras HaAynish. K'mayim Mechavis Lavavis Kala Ovid Bishvil Zeh, because of Yiras HaAynish Ovid Luzalasai. The Chavis Lavavis says that somebody for whom the basis of his Avodas Hashem is fear of punishment, he's really worshipping somebody else, not God. He's worshiping himself because he just doesn't want to get hurt, so he's not really worshiping God, he's really serving himself. The highest yira is yiras haroimus, that the yira comes because of Hashem, because Hashem is great. Shalit, he rules over everything. Klaimer mitoch Havanas Rav Amuso, due to an understanding of Hashem's greatness. V'zera ha'yir ha'shleima. That's true Yiras Hashem. That's the higher level of Yiras Hashem. V'zu ha'yir ha'enem esyare rak mi ha'shamay. This is Yiras Shamay. V'nimishu b'madregas Yiras ha'enesh rochu kum Yiras ha'ramas. The Hashem said that, again, not that one shouldn't have it. It's a basic thing to keep one's, to keep a person from misbehaving. So, of course, you have Yiras ha'enesh, but that person is far, far from Yiras ha'ramas. Regam mo'eri naim pashas Yisra, b'shem Rabbeinu, b'chem et orizor pashas Ekev, and so on. Regam divya magim yimezuch. Yiras stam b'nei odam hu Yiras ha'enesh. The Mesitcha Magid says that the fear of most people, stop, people being afraid when it comes to religion, it's mostly Yiras ha'enesh.
That's the Gemara and Brachas. They wish on to somebody that they should only have the fear of God like they have the fear of
Rabbi Yochanan and Zaka.
Right? Is that the same idea?
Well, I would have to work to explain that a little bit. That's not so posh, the comparison, but I understand what you mean by it. So, Yiras stam b'nei odam hu Yiras ha'enesh. V'zeinu klum. It's a strong lesson to say v'zeinu klum. It's still better than doing the Aveira. But v'zeinu klum. V'nam shel alzer ov shehizir b'nei shel ayelach yachev pench teshev koitz baraglev. He gives a marshal. The father warns the son not to walk around barefoot because he's going to get a thorn. He's going to get hurt. His foot is going to get a thorn, something. And he's a little kid, he didn't pay any attention. He doesn't have any das. He went barefoot, and he got a thorn in his foot. Even though it wasn't that painful, I mean, it was a thorn, but it wasn't so terrible, but the father was afraid that it would cause an infection. What did the father do? Lokach marzei v'kara habasa. That I show that you, I've done this with a kid, and you've done this with a kid. He took a pin, and kara habasa. He tore open a little bit the flesh. Svivos hakoyts around the splinter. V'heisar hakoyts maraglan. He took out the splinter from the kid's foot. V'ini belokach hakoyts ayilatinak yisurim koshim. Now, when he had to go with the pin, that hurt more than the splinter. So that was hurting the kid more than the splinter. So he thinks like his father's nachzari. His father's mom is cruel. The splinter hurts me only a little bit. It doesn't bother me that much. Because the kid doesn't have any das. He doesn't know that he's going to become an infection. He can get sick. So now that the father's taking out the little splinter, the kid's Yisurim Kalshim, but Saveh, but Kalmar, he's screaming the kid. Achaovu Yodesh, I Yisurim Ahem, I'm Rafu Allah. The father knows it. This is it's a Rafu that he's taking this out, that it's helping the kid. Therefore, the father ignores the screaming of the kid. And he holds the kid. Parents have to do this too. The kid doesn't want to take the medicine. Right? The worst thing is when trying. Sometimes you have a stubborn little kid and doesn't want to take the medicine in her mouth or something. And then you need both parents, like one to hold the kid and the other to open the mouth. And it's always a horrible feeling when you do that. It's a horrible feeling. The kid looks at you. It's like you're pyro or something. What are you doing to me? Because the kid feels okay. You know? There's a fever, so hard, so I'm not feeling. They don't know what that means. So now another time happened. The kid wants to go barefoot again. So the father shows that he's angry. Don't you remember how much it hurt you when I took the last time I took the splinter out? Don't you remember? Don't go barefoot. Because you might have to suffer again to have a splinter removed again. The Maggid says, so it's odd. The father, you would think the father would say, don't go barefoot, because if you go barefoot, you're going to have a splinter. The father already tried that.
It wasn't enough.
Didn't work for the kid. I mean, he wasn't this small from a little splinter. The kid wasn't this small. He's not, doesn't have das. He doesn't know that you get infected and you can get very sick. So the father doesn't say that. Because the baby, the kid doesn't worry him. He's not scared about getting a splinter. The ikar tzar, the main tzar that the kid had, was when the father took a splinter out. And that was by the refuah, which is all coming from ahava. It's coming from love. It was a mice of ahava. It was the right hand. It was the right hand of the father that was taking the splinter, and not the left hand. And the kid, that's the kid screaming. So the father has to now say, if you're going to go barefoot, I'm going to have to take the splinter out again. I'm going to have to show you the love again. That's what it is. Even though, of course, the father's worried about the kid getting a splinter. The nimshal is obvious. The fear that a person has is from the punishment. In other words, from his feeling pain. The person's just sent, he's very self-centered, and he's thinking just, I don't want to have any pain. Is a chait bad, so not the actual problem of going barefoot. That's not the issue. So it's not the chait. Yiras a chait, when a person loves Hashem in such a way that he's afraid to do anything that's against God's will, that's yiras haromis, yiras a chait. But yiras haoinish is no. It's not that I'm afraid of going against God's will. I'm afraid of the consequences of going against God's will, which either in this world I'll get punished or in the next world I'll get punished. That's not Yos Hashem. That's what the Baal Shem is saying. It's not really Yos Hashem. He's afraid for himself. The punishment was not Hashem's left hand or the father's left hand taking out the splinter. It's a refuah. It's mamash a refuah. And that's in footnote 3. Yemin HaKadosh Baruch Hu Pshuta. Hashem's right arm is reaching out to bring people back to him to do tshuva. It's not the left arm, it's the right arm. You experience it like ki'ilu is the left, but it's not. It's not, it's the right. Look at footnote 6 on page 115. First five, the lashon that he brings in Ksenis Pasim, that the Toldos brings over there. A wise person should understand. When he feels Hashem's left hand pushing him away, Hashem is that's Hashem that's doing that. Not the economy, it's not biology, it's Hashem doing that. You should kiss the arm that's pushing you away. Because really the arm that's pushing you away is only for bringing you close. Like the muscle that the Svarim say, that a person's walking, all of a sudden he feels somebody slapping him on his back, and he gets very upset, he gets very scared. And he turns around, he sees that it's a friend that he hasn't seen in many, many years. That saw him on the street, and they gave him a big slap on the back. So the first feeling is a feeling of being pushed away. But then when he sees that it's his friend, then they hug each other. That's what the Baal Shem Tov was saying. Shezad chiyah kedei leskar, you mean a pshut l'kabel shof.
Could you explain the left? I didn't follow what the left is.
The left is always din. The left is a symbol of din. So it looks like it's the left, but really it's the right. It really is love, it's not fear.
So right is love, left is
love. Yeah. Six rates, habas rivosh, the Baal Shem Tov, v'negel, his bayin luz beis pachin, and the inyonim gashmiyim, barlam. Imroya dover hazeh, sheyesh lo pachin. Let's say you see something you're afraid of. Something happens, you're afraid. A dog comes, it starts barking, whatever it is. You see something and you're afraid. Yomer, you should say, Mali lira b'nedoviza, why should I be afraid of this? Halahu adam kamaisi, or let's say it's a person you're afraid of. Why should I be afraid of this person? Your boss is somebody. Halahu adam kamaisi, he's just a human being like me. Mikol shkein l'shnei behem of chayr, an animal. Halashu yizbaruch hanoi mislabish b'dovizah. Hashem is mislabish in this scary moment. Hashem. Kamayesh l'lira, menu ba'atzmo. I should just fear Hashem. Not the person, not the dog. Is a when there's some yir chitzonis, a yir ra, then strengthen yourself and get to the source of that and be mechazik yourself with yir akadosha, with true fear, with holy fear. Shibusha me Hashem Yisbarach, which is to feel ashamed in the presence of Hashem Yisbarach. And through that, the person can be niftim yir chitzonis. There are two things when it says nifter miyur chitzaynis, means they will no longer have the yur chitzaynis. They will no longer have that fear. That's a fear of the person or the animal. But it could also mean that he's nifter from the inyan itself. That's we'll talk more about Mitzvah next week. But on a basic level, he's no longer trapped by that fear. By that very, very basic and simple fear. And instead he goes into a place of Yir Kadosh, of Yir Sarebus, or something else. And as a result of that, it could be that he'll be nifted from the Indian itself altogether, which we'll talk about next.